Alrighty, here we are. My first podcast in the DC area, hon. Hey, Stephanie.
I know. Hi.
I'm so far away now.
I know, but you know what? You got that beautiful snow.
I know. It's really beautiful.
It is. And here we are in Northern California with rain that is much needed, but it's cold and it's wet. And there's something about cold and wet that's way less appealing than cold and snow covered.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, with the exception of having to be out in the snow. I'm not prepared at all for snow as far as clothes or, I don't even know what they called what do you call that, Bob, for the car?
Ice scraper.
Thank you. See, I never can think of anything. Ice scraper, and then it's got the little brush on the end. You know, everybody's laughing at me.
I love it. That's your thing. It was like when you couldn't remember the name of the toaster, right?
No, I did remember the name of the toaster. No, you made fun with toaster. I couldn't remember the food processor or something like that. No, slow cooker. Right. It was slow cooker.
Slow cooker. that thing that you throw all the ingredients into and it takes a real long time to prepare the food.
And then, as I said before, I also couldn't remember Village Idiot, so I called them the town's stupid person.
Yeah.
It's my thing. Anyway, so I don't have an ice scraper for my car. I don't have clothes. I don't have a warm coat. I have a coat that I can handle about 45 degrees or maybe 30 degrees if I'm running in and out. But I certainly am not prepared for this. And so it's nice that I work from home and I can sit and look outside of my window. I mean, it started yesterday and it was pretty. But now, like when we woke up, it was all white. It was just everything is white, even the sky. The sky is white and the rooftops are white and the car tops are white. So it's really pretty. And I'm actually glad that I'm getting this because, you know, it's March and we only have, I don't know how much longer we're going to have to deal with snow. I don't know if we're going to get any snow in April. I remember one time, though, watching The Real World in like the 90s. And I remember they were commenting because it was snowing in New York in April and they were all pissed off about it. But I know that's rare. So and everybody keeps thinking that they're going to like they're really funny because they're pointing their finger at me going, ah, ha, ha, you're in snow now. And it's like, I actually kind of like the snow. It's the humidity.
Snow rocks.
Yeah, it's the humidity in the summer.
Oh, I love the humidity.
I fucking hate it. I hate it. It makes me angry.
You know what, though? I know. You'll get used to it, though.
No, I won't. I promise you.
The DC area is fucking humid in the summertime.
Yeah, it's humid and awful, and the fucking bugs. And although I think that I think I might be okay with the odorless garlic. That's supposed to be good for mosquitoes. But then some lady on Facebook mentioned an Avon product that I might be able to use because they love me. Mosquitoes love me. So, you know, never had to really worry about that in California. Other people complained of getting mosquito bites in California. I never did. In, you know, how many years did I live there? Like 40 years. I never got a mosquito bite. Mm-hmm. So.
And you get them like crazy. Oh, maybe like who knows crazy. What it is. It's a different variety of mosquito and you appeal to that variety.
I guess well, there's way more mosquitoes here than there are in California. I mean, it's a dry climate. So it's not to say that they don't exist out there, but there's so much more of them out here. And what scares me is, you know, the West Nile virus thing. And they
love Jesus, no, you're going to be okay.
Well, I worry. I'm a worrier.
I worry.
I'm aware. And then now I'm like closer to my father who's worried about everything. You know, my mom, my mom's birthday is on Saturday, March 24th, which is the March. And I had to call her today and tell her because she wanted to go. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen for me because I'm still sick. And I mean, I'm not terribly sick. I caught a cold last Friday and it's kind of gone into my chest now. And I mean, I still have congestion and everything, but I'm feeling under the weather. You know, I mean, I'm low energy.
Yeah, me too.
I certainly don't have clothes or shoes or anything to wear if it's really cold on Saturday. It's supposed to be in the 40s, but, you know, I mean, it's a trek to get out there and you know, march with hundreds of thousands of people. It's gonna
you're
be
doing
a lot.
It.
So I don't think I'm gonna be able to make this particular march.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll do it for you. Okay. You know what I did? So my kids, I've turned my 10-year-old daughter is just a straight up badass activist, and I love it. Like I can't even. Nothing warms my heart more. Yeah. She's so adorable. She told me the other day that Emma Gonzalez, we were watching 60 yeah. Minutes on Sunday night. Emma Gonzalez is my hero. Aww. Mom. I know. And then she thought about maybe, shaving her head.
Oh, really?
And yes. And, I told her that was not a great idea, that she could wait until high school to make those sorts of decisions.
Why did you tell her that? What was your
because
reasoning?
I said that you can make those decisions when you're 18.
And how old is she?
Because you might regret. She's 10.
Oh, okay. Is her hair long?
No, she's got a short little haircut, kind of like me.
Oh, okay.
I have a puppy, by the way, so that's just going to add some spice to the
podcast. No problem. We love puppies.
We
love puppies.
And a husband.
We love puppies and we love husbands.
Yeah, the husband. I love the husband too. And the puppy's adorable. Oh my God. But anyway, so back to the badass activist child. My son's coming along because he knows how important this is, but he's 13 and a half and everything's kind of like, how are you? How are you? Okay. Yeah. You know, I knock on his door now just because he's into like, he just goes in there and he just shuts it.
Yeah.
And he sits in his cockpit, also known as his bed, and he does his homework and he's like, but, we're going. And so I planned ahead and I went to the Mad Dog Pack website and I ordered a kit. I ordered an activist kit, which came with a bunch of little, handheld, like really nice cardboard, the NRA is a terrorist organization, signs. I got a shirt that my son's going to wear. He's super psyched. Well, okay, super psyched. I'll wear it. But that's like a really, that's super psyched in his book. And my daughter's going to have a sign that says no more guns. And we're just going to march our asses off in Oakland. Oakland goes, Oakland throws down for
I'm
these
sure.
marches. Like
sure.
it's a big deal.
Well, I
so
saw
I can't,
that it was I'm, like, they're going to blanket the United States with these marches. I think there's like over 800 of them planned.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going to
got deal.
Rain on Saturday. Son of a bitch.
Say that again.
It's going to rain on Saturday.
That sucks.
Oh, well, listen to you.
Even your dog is pissed off about that.
My dog is pissed because I had to crate his ass because I can't watch him. I'm afraid he's going to urinate on something.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast, but
little
anyway,
baby doggy, that's so cute though.
His name is Oscar. He's really cute. He looks like a stuffed animal.
I bet.
But he's huge. He's huge, and he's wrecked a rug. He likes to chew.
Yeah.
He chewed the leg of a chair. You know. But this is what happens.
Oh my God! You know what I just saw? Did you see this? Latest Cambridge Analytica links to Blackwater founder Eric Prince.
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even read this yet. So this was just something that was posted. But since we're on the issue now, oh my God, fucking Trump.
Yes.
Congratulating Putin.
Oh, yeah.
After he gets all capitals, do not congratulate. The fucking moron calls him up and congratulates him. What a fucking idiot.
Well, what a fucking idiot that he has to have a note that
exactly.
says congratulate in all caps.
I know. And then what did somebody, I that's a kind of like a point I made on Twitter. And let me find it now because somebody, here it is, Trump put up a tweet back in October of 2012 that says, how long did it take for Obama to call up Hugo Chavez and congratulate him on his re-election. Who do you think Chavez supports in ours? So who, Obama? Did Obama call Hugo
Obama
Chavez?
Obama doesn't call Chavez.
No. But Trump is just being a dick in 2012, like poking at him. And then, then he goes and calls Putin. His best buddy.
There's nothing more clear.
Yeah.
Than the fact that Putin has something on Trump,
yeah,
or Trump wouldn't. I wanted to get really gross and graphic, as I do when I'm, you know, I mean, you know me.
Yeah.
you know what I'm capable of. But I'm going to go ahead and just keep it at, you know what, Putin, there is a piss tape.
Yeah.
There is.
Although I don't think the piss tape, you know what, I've heard that it doesn't exist. I've heard there's other things on him that's worse. Supposedly, somebody had mentioned that it's a child, you know, him having sex with a child. I don't know if any of that exists. And if it does, what the fuck? A P tape is not going to convince anybody in the Republican Party to turn on.
No, the P tape is really just a euphemism for there's something really
fucking filthy on Trump, right?
Yes. Okay. And that's why that, you know, it took 13 indictments of Russian bad actors, to use their words, for him to impose sanctions. And the sanctions, you know, a little too late, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and
you know,
it's a little too late. And frankly, I see it as nothing more than a, hey, look, I did it. You know, hey, look,
yeah,
I slapped some sanctions on Russia. Therefore, I can't be guilty, and I don't love Putin, even though he's calling him up and, you know, congratulating him on a sham of a fucking election that he, you know,
mm-hmm,
he made sure, Putin made sure nobody could run against him. I mean, it's just, oh my God, as my mother keeps saying, November can't come fast enough.
Right.
You know,
she's always saying,
I don't want to wish my life away, but, you know,
right,
November
I saw that.
Yeah. And she does. She always, because I would say things like, oh, I can't wait for something. She's like, don't wish your life away. Enjoy the moment.
Right.
And it's like, well,
like, you know what? I value that statement. Enjoy the moment, because I always used to wish my life away. But now I tell you what, I'd take a sleeping pill that woke me back up at the midterms.
Yeah.
But you know what? In the meantime, it's kind of fun, because I was sitting on the couch with my husband last night, and we're watching, of course, the news. And I just said, or maybe it was even this morning, I don't remember, because it's on a freaking loop, but it's like, this is about to get motherfucking crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're so close there. The good guys, the team Mueller, are just so close to uncovering or actually making public. Because here's what happens. Think of what we know. We know what's gone on with Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
We know what's happening with, you know, and God bless Michael Avenatti and that crew, you know, the Stormy Daniels crew. But think of what Mueller must know if we know all this shit.
Yeah, exactly. So he knows everything.
The hammer is coming down. And I've learned to, you know, I only want to listen to credible news sources. I can't take the theories anymore. I have my own, but like I'm done reading theories on Twitter. Although I have to admit, I did read one that Eric Garland came up with the other day. But you know, I really try to limit that, because it makes me too crazy. It made me fat. It made me lose sleep. It makes me, sometimes it makes me a bad parent. You know, I'm just gonna wait. We're going to see what happens. This Cambridge Analytica stuff is just so off the rails and so corrupt that, you know, sorry, they got rid of Alexander Nix. That's nothing.
Yeah.
The information is still out there. There were whores sent to people on behalf of the Trump organization. The Democrats questioned Nix for 2 hours, and the Republicans asked 3 questions. And when they said there was no Russian involvement, the Republicans said, okay.
Yeah. It's
Jim Jordan has a hammer, or what's on the Russian flag? The sickle
in the
He's
hammer.
Got a sickle up his ass.
Yeah.
The guy is so dirty and so guilty. They all, you know, the clean ones are speaking out. So Trey Gowdy's clean.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Rand Paul's clean. Lindsey Graham is clean. Mitch McConnell is as dirty as dirty can be. And Paul Ryan, with his non-existent upper lip and that smug fucking smile he walks around with, he is filthy.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's may not run again?
Yes, he is. And I'm worried, obviously, because, I don't know what's going. I obviously just don't know what's going to happen. I think that there's a case to be made for Mueller waiting until after the midterms before laying down any kind of, findings. Mm-hmm. Because he knows that if he introduces findings now, they'll just ignore, you know. And so how do we deal with that? I mean, I just, and then also, you know, this Cambridge Analytica thing, everything that I've listened to. Now, granted, I understand that they used our information and in ways that we didn't allow them to, I guess, or mm-hmm. in a way,
our Facebook stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
we didn't sign up for this and the way that it was used for political gain. Although I don't know exactly what is the, what can be considered illegal. I believe Bannon sharing that information with the Russians could be considered illegal. Hopefully Mueller has that proof, but I think that the Republicans will be able to write it off. And the reason why I say it, and they already have, I mean, if you go over to any kind of Republican pages on Facebook or read what they're saying, just every everyday people, they're basically saying that, oh, you know, what's so different than what Obama did when he was targeting, getting information from people on social media. So they have what about that? They are convinced that this is not a bad thing. And I was watching somebody explain, and I don't know what show it is. I think it was Chris Matthews, who I don't really like watching, but I'm on an earlier time zone now, so I'm kind of forced to watch him, usually when I'm cooking dinner. But anyway, a woman had pointed out, you know, he says, okay, well, what about this? And what about the, you know, how is it illegal? Everything that she was explaining was so very nuanced that when you see liberals and progressives and Democrats coming on and going, well, it really means, forget it, you've lost the argument. Because it doesn't matter whether or not, I'm not going to say it's true, but I mean, it doesn't matter to the Republicans because they'll spin it in a different way and they'll act
exactly.
Like, it's no big deal. I mean, the law is the law, and that's kind of like the end of it. But it's just the argument that the Republicans are making that it's no big deal. It's like, well, Obama did it and everybody does this. This is just what everybody does. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. but,
no,
anyway,
wrong.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to be the ultimate, takeaway from this Cambridge Analytica thing. I hope mm-hmm. it's the bigger mm-hmm. picture of Facebook, because did you hear that Zuckerberg went before the number two guy, the number two Kremlin guy?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So, you know, like
gave him a t-shirt. Oh, yeah.
And Ari Melber was saying, you know, will he meet with Congress the way he met with Russians, or will he have to be subpoenaed?
Well, Joe Kennedy and Amy Klobuchar had a beautiful appearance on one of the shows last night. And they were like, yeah, we want to, you know, we need to talk to this mofo.
Yeah.
This is, you're messing with, this is not, you didn't have our permission to do this.
Yeah.
Whether your intentions were innocent or what, you need to know what you did. And we need to put we're dealing with Zuckerberg. He's a 33-year-old zillionaire who was very entitled back in the day. I mean, I saw the Social Network. Yeah. I know what a dick he is.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But you know, here's a kid. He's a dick, and he thinks, you know, I'm a genius and I'm going to do this. And and I've got you by the balls, because everybody's so addicted to Facebook.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't so lazy to pull some of my cherished photos off, I'd have canceled that freaking account ages ago. You know, honestly, I think they got ahead of themselves. They had no constraints. They didn't know the rules. And now he's in big trouble. Mm. And I read something it was just a headline. I didn't get to dig into the story this morning, but a bunch of Facebook insiders started selling some of their shares 3 months ago. Hmm. So what does that tell you?
Right.
What does that tell
you? Right, right,
right. And then. Yeah, exactly. This shit, they're going down. This is bad.
Well, I think that hopefully this will just lead to changes on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Facebook's going to go away. Although I will say this, you know, Facebook is a big deal, but you know, Bob, on Saturday and went to go visit his family in Pennsylvania. And he asked his niece if she was on Twitter or Facebook, and she just laughed at him. She's like, no. So, I mean, youth isn't even on Facebook. Maybe they have a page so that they can, you know, keep up with their grandmothers, but that's not where they're hanging out. They're hanging out right now on Instagram and Snapchat, and, you know, social media platforms just keep popping up all over the place. And it's no longer this, you know, oh, it's, we don't know how to do it anymore. All kinds of social platforms exist, and it wouldn't take very long for everybody, if there was some kind of alternative to Facebook, to run over there. You know, I mean, it just wouldn't take very long. And, you know, just the word has to get out and everybody gets on. There's always going to be, you know, eventually Facebook could become a MySpace situation, or it could just be, you know, when it first started, it was basically for the college kids. The college kids were all on it. And then the adults came on and they're like, fuck this shit. And they went somewhere else. And so I think that's always going to happen. You know, as soon as the adults find it, then the kids are like, bye, because they don't want to be
talking
to each other with their parents around. So,
no, mom, I don't want to friend you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's what they say.
Yeah.
My son has an Instagram account, and I said, I'm going to follow you because I got to check in and make sure, you know, you're 13. You don't know that this shit could come back to haunt you later. You know, I mean, if I had Instagram at 13, and my parents didn't know what was going on, like, everyone would know what my tits look like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I honestly. So,
see, now, I never would have done that because I was always, I've always been so, like, modest with all
of
that stuff.
Well, it would have been that I was, like, doing a cartwheel with a skirt on with no underwear and someone else would have snapped the picture. Well, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, you're right.
And, that, myself.
And I have a friend who has a daughter. And, you know, she's a teenager and she's posting pictures of herself in bikinis and, you know, with her butt, you know, like pushing her butt toward the camera. And I look at that and I just think, oh, my God. And this is on Facebook. And I just think, thank God I don't have to deal with that. Because it's like, you know, there's this whole feminist conversation about that where there are feminists who say, you know, girls should be able to do that. And it's like, of course they should. Of course they should be able to do that. But, you know, just like I don't want to see boys doing certain things on any kind of social media platform or anywhere. I don't want to see certain pictures of anybody. I don't care if they're a boy or a girl. But what concerns me about girls doing this is that not just the fact that they might be attracting freakazoids and weirdos, but I would be concerned why they want to do that. Because I wouldn't want my daughter to feel that her value was her sexuality. I totally understand, like, all of her value. I totally understand that whole, like, teenager recognizing your sexual power thing. I had it. You know, I mean, I remember being, like, 16, 17 years old and getting that I could make men crazy, you know, in a bikini or something like that. I was 6 feet tall. I was older looking. And so I liked that power. I found it to be, I don't know. I mean, it was an empowering feeling. I get that. And I don't criticize any young girls for feeling that way, but I would worry that, you know, if my daughter was, you know, endlessly putting half naked pictures of herself on social media, that she's putting all her value in her physical appearance. And that is what we're
correct.
Worry. So, you know,
right. That's a big deal. I just,
yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, I just know that growing up in Los Angeles and being in the, you know, entertainment industry, it fucked me up. I think I would have been fucked up no matter where I lived, but certainly, you know, I mean, I was always tall, and I think that being tall and having large bones, I mean, I take a size 11 shoe and, you know, I mean, I'm large. I think that would have played a part in my body image issues, no matter where I lived. Mm-hmm. But knowing that, you know, my physical appearance was so valuable in Southern California, or at least that's what I was believing, because that's where I saw everywhere. I mean, it's very dangerous. And so, you know,
again,
it's not about nudity being or it's not about me being prudish or anything like that with young girls, because the idea of, yeah, we should all be able to be naked and it shouldn't be a big deal. But that's not the society we live in at this point in time. So we can't, you know, I mean, it'd be great if we could all get to a point where nudity was nothing. You know, like in Europe, it's much more like it's not a big deal. You know, right. People can be nude and no one gives a shit. But it's not like that here.
Right.
We still are dealing with the fucking, you know, it's not to say Europe doesn't have problems with patriarchy, but the way, you know, we've got this puritanical bullshit in this country. And I don't know. So whatever.
Right.
I'm going off into this whole complete other tangent. But
No. I hear you.
You know, going back to this whole Russia scandal, I just have to voice my frustration with both Michael Moore and Bernie Sanders. Did you hear?
Yeah, talk to me. No, I want to hear about Moore because I saw some stuff yesterday. I just didn't have time to dig in. Yes, share it with me.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I'm fully aware of is the fact that both Sanders and, well, first I think Moore said that Russia was a distraction. And then I guess Bernie Sanders, you know, throughout, you know, and Stormy. So it's like, okay, first of all, Stormy Daniels is not a distraction. She is saying that the president has threatened her. He has obviously lied about his affair with her. I hate even calling it an affair because it's just so gross. Has paid for time with her. But, you know, he lied about it. Everybody was so fucking concerned about Bill Clinton lying about a blowjob. And, you know, and so it's like the fact that he probably threatened her is not a distraction. And then to even suggest that Russia is a distraction from what, you know, from what?
Yeah, I don't get it.
He's saying it's a distraction from the issues that are important to voters. Okay, that's fine. It isn't, though, because if Putin gets his way, we're never going to have fair elections and nobody's ever going to, you know, overcome, income equality. We're never going to pass legislation for, you know, common sense gun laws. Nothing is going to happen if our democracy is destroyed because of Russia. So for them to say that is so incredibly irresponsible. And it's really pissing me off because it's, you know, Breitbart then did a whole story on Michael Moore, the liberal, screaming about Russia. So, oh, thanks, Michael.
Well, he needs to shut up.
And he's not going to. And that's, you know, and then what happens is he's got these all these people on the far left who are going, they don't,
those are the Bernie people it irritates the
Bernie Stein people, which by the way, I want to plug, real quick on Friday. I'm on the After Party with Bob Seska, which is a subscription only show, but comedian Jen Kirkman is going to be on and both of us, it's going to be all three of us. And you just know she is so pissed at Bernie. She was like huge Bernie fan and more so than me. But I think she was not for him in the primary because she's very suspicious of him hiring Tad Devine. And because Tad Devine was, I believe, Paul Manafort's business partner. So, she's
lovely.
Yeah. She's done all kinds of research and, you know, I got to give it to her, man. She's a comedian and she puts herself out there and she, you know, she's got theories that she puts out there and questions. And, you know, she's questioned, she's pretty hard on Chris Hayes because Chris, according to her, is a Bernie bro, which I don't think he's a bro. I mean,
Hayes?
Yeah. I think that Chris maybe likes Bernie, but I would never refer to him as a bro. But, you know, I mean, she was asking Chris Hayes to, you know, ask Bernie certain questions or whatever. And I know that they got into it. Like, I mean, he was tweeting back to her and questioning her. And he's kind of like the dog with the tilted head, like, huh? And, you know, I mean, she was. And so I kind of chimed in and I'm like, yeah, why don't you ask him why he isn't addressing all of the bros? You know, because the bros are horrible. And I would really like for Bernie to mention that. But he isn't. And anyway, so I think that this is extremely dangerous, extremely irresponsible of Michael Moore and Bernie Sanders, and it's pissing me off. So anyway, I'm Jen Kirkman, and Bob and I are all going to discuss this on the After Party. And it is subscription only, so just FYI.
I subscribe.
It's for the After Party?
Of course.
Cool.
Ask
Well,
Bob.
it'll be a fun show.
Doesn't he know all of his Patreon subscribers by name?
I don't know. Do you, Bob?
I'm kidding. I've been a subscriber.
I know she's a subscriber at Patreon.
I'm effing with you. Of course, but I'm a subscriber to our show.
Yeah.
Best freaking $10 I spend every month. Are you joking? Ask my mom. She feels the exact same way.
Aw. Hey, well, that's a great segue to say everybody who's listening should be a subscriber. If you're not a subscriber,
yes.
I don't have, you know what? I didn't bring my paper. I usually have a paper that says like start me up /Patreon, whatever. Patreon. I don't remember what it is.
You just look it up. You can go to Patreon and search it.
Just go to start me up with Kimberly Johnson and Steph Walton and you'll find us online.
Yep.
We're also on iTunes and, but you can join for like $1 a month. Come on.
Yeah, but you know what? But think about it. You walk into a Starbucks and if you're a latte drinker, you're not getting out of there for under $5. Okay.
Exactly.
Think of us as just a very satisfying latte that you can laugh and it's not going to come out of your nose. Right. I mean, it's like,
exactly.
we're yes. And then
if you subscribe for $5, you can listen to our show, which is the show after this one. And it's only for subscribers. It's not a free
right.
show.
And that's the one that would get us, you know, fired from jobs and stuff.
So anyway, and then let me just add this, you know, Facebook is getting, God only knows what's going to happen with Facebook. And I don't know, you know, I mean, I used to be able to make my living in part because of Facebook as a blogger and stuff like that. Things have changed now and it's much more difficult to earn a living doing what I do. So, supporting independent podcasters is really appreciated and it helps us to keep going. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it is. And yes, all those things that Kimberly just said, everyone.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So wait, did you see Stormy Daniels got some asshole named Mike Magro, whatever, tweeted to her and says, why don't you just disappear? No one cares. You were a slut and slept with POTUS 12 years ago. So she wrote, technically.
I wrote back to him, by the way. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, me too.
Keep rolling. Keep rolling.
She says, technically, I didn't sleep with POTUS 12 years ago. There was no sleeping. and he was just a goofy reality TV star. But I digress. People do care that he lied about it. And had bullied me, broke laws to cover it up, etc. And P.S. I am not going anywhere. Kiss, hug, kiss, hug, kiss, hug. Ha ha. She's fucking funny. And she's in bold.
She's
just saying whatever
hysterical.
She wants now. Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck him. Ha ha. It's like this whole idea that he didn't sleep with her yet he's suing her for $20 million for this. What, when you're not, when you don't have an affair, why do you have an NDA?
Well, clearly with another one named Karen McDougal too. And she's coming out swinging.
Right. Ha 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 ha. And then, oh my God, I wish I had it, but you sent me that picture this morning of Stephanie Ruhle learning that, that he probably had sex without a condom and the look on her face.
Ew,
she was just,
I know,
like,
I'm
so
tweet that
horrified.
Shit.
It was so funny.
Horrified. It was beautiful. My husband was watching and he's like, get in here. He had it paused and then we sat down because he was cracking up. I don't know who loves Stephanie Ruhle more, me or my husband. It's different love, though.
Cool. I'm really hoping that Stormy Daniels appears on 60 Minutes this Sunday.
She will.
This is awesome. I hope that it all goes down and everything without it, you know. I can't wait. I just can't wait.
Oh, Magro. Yeah, I think, you know, Michael Avenatti. Uh-huh. While we're on the Stormy Daniels, that dude is fierce.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he's not a hack. He knows exactly what he's doing. He does Ari Melber's show like every day.
Yeah.
And you know, Ari's got, you know, he's the lawyer, right? He went to Cornell Law School. And so he understands the law. So he's kind of the go-to on the MSNBC, you know, all those anchors like Ari, and he's good. But Avenatti's like, you know what? I'm not going to play my hand, fool.
Yeah.
I got so much. Like, you keep it up. Keep it up. Because you're going to lose, Donald. then we're all see your shriveled wiener and your sorry rest of your area that we had an off microphone conversation about.
You should have heard Stephanie. Oh my God, she was on a roll.
Fine.
About Trump's ball sack.
Well, what I considered it a con. and you said to me, Jesus, I thought Bob was bad.
I know. He gets in trouble on his show for saying like all kinds of things about ball sacks, but I think you topped him.
You know what? You know, do you guys follow Ike Barinholtz?
I'm not. Did I top balls, him? Balls on my show, and that's not true.
Yes, you do. That's all you ever talk about. I'm kidding.
We know it's not a pretty picture. And I have a feeling we're going to see it. So we really will know. Are you going to look at the picture when it comes out?
Of course.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
I'm going to study it. Because the people that say.
Maybe George Bush can paint it.
Yes. Or maybe Jim Carrey can do a caricature of it.
Oh, my God.
Right? Do you guys follow Ike Barinholtz?
No.
Okay. He's hysterical. And yesterday, Ted Cruz was talking about the Hollywood liberals. And so Ike Barinholtz retweets it and he goes, Ted Cruz, everyone knows you'd gnaw your own ball sack off.
I just followed him right
now.
Have
one of them talk to you. He's the best. He is so funny. But anything. And then I, you know, my response to him, because I am truly a 15-year-old boy mentally and emotionally. And I know it. I mean, I know who I am. But that sort of humor, like, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
Give me a Farrelly Brothers comedy over like a deep documentary any day of the week. I'll pick the Farrelly Brothers like Kingpin, you know? Yeah. All that,
well,
anything,
just,
the spilling the hot.
Well, we just watched kind of like the end of Dumb and Dumber. And you know what? That movie cracks me up. I think my favorite scene in that movie is when they're in the car and he makes the most annoying sound in the world. And then when they sing Mockingbird. Oh, I'll never forget the first time I saw the Mockingbird scene. I lost my shit. I was laughing so hard.
You didn't die. When Jeff Daniels ate the colon blow and had to blew out the toilet at Mary's house.
Of course. But fucking Jeff Daniels was so funny. And you know, like he was so good. I mean, obviously you expect that kind of role from Jim Carrey. But it's kind of surprising to see Jeff Daniels, and he was really good. I mean, he's got that, like, I mean, here he was playing on what is that show? What was that show where he played like the Lawrence O'Donnell character?
The newsroom.
Oh,
you know,
the newsroom.
He
yeah.
was so good
yeah.
at that.
And then he does Dumb and Dumber too.
Yes. And he just looks stupid. He's got that face. Harry. He's so funny. I love Jeff Daniels.
Oh, God. I love them both so much. Nobody dry heaves better than Jim Carrey. Not a human being on the planet. Not, and there's no one. I try my best, and I just can't. I can't top it.
Oh my God! Well, before we go over to end another thing, did you hear about that neo-Nazi who won the Chicago primary?
Unchallenged.
Yeah, unchallenged. Well, I mean, I'll say this: the Republican Party has condemned him. They've been able to block his bids in the past, but because of Trump and this whole new kind of Nazi group thing that's growing. I don't know even what you would say. It's like, I think Trump is the reason he's running. I mean, now.
Yeah. Oh, of course, Kimberly, without question, because Trump's racism, being such an openly racist pile of crap, has given anybody where it's just sort of been simmering under the surface, right? If that's even a correct description, but anybody who has sort of hidden racist agenda, they've been given license to come out and just let that fly. Nope.
He's a Holocaust denier and a full-on white supremacist, although he says his neo-Nazi stuff is in the past. It's like, okay, you're right. But I think that, you know, the fact that he ran unopposed means the party didn't care enough to find anyone to run against him, you know, in the primary. So, I mean, it's a Democratic district, so he's not going to win, but I don't even think mm-hmm. that's the point. The point is, number one, of the two parties, which are not the same, he found a home in the Republican Party, even though they're disavowing him. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Though mm-hmm. that party aligns closer to his quote-unquote values. And then the fact that, you know, they didn't even try. They didn't even try to find somebody. You know, I mean, I guess they figure that it's just they're not going to win anyway. So what's the point? But I think that you would at least try.
Give it a whirl.
Yeah. Get somebody else in there. Because how embarrassing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, nothing embarrasses them.
Yeah, because we don't want Nazis running on our ticket. But whatever. You know, I guess they have bigger fish to fry.
I guess
and another thing, if we can continue the political discussion, you know, what's happening, or before we go, let's do it because we're still rolling with this one. H.R. McMaster. So here's a guy who had one foot out the door last Friday, mm-hmm. or so we all thought. But still hanging around and not, but completely, like just a limp dick in the administration because right. And so I do want to revisit that because that is such a, you know, we started talking about his notes and all, but like what's happening here? Is there going to be an empty White House soon?
I don't know. It sounds like it, doesn't it?
I mean, it does.
What the fuck? And he's Mr. I'm going rogue now. I don't have to listen to anybody. Notice how well that worked out for Sarah Palin. But
he's digging his grave. Right, he's digging his grave. There are leaks inside the White House. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, Carol Lenig and Robert Costa put that story out there last night.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's happening lightning fast. Yeah. Like. There's no allegiance to him inside his administration beyond his rotten children mm-hmm. and maybe Kelly at this point. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how long that lasts. Anyway, I just, you know, it makes me happy. I'm glad he's going rogue because it's just one, it's another nail in his coffin every time he does it.
Well, yeah, usually when he does it, he does something that helps the Mueller investigation, you know?
Correct.
Like it gives them exhibit, you know, 5000A or whatever.
Right. Oh my God. Can you imagine if every exhibit was like an actual physical piece of an exhibit, can you imagine like in the courtroom, there'd be that big table and it'd all be like sealed off in baggies. They'd need to bring another fucking table in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's getting to that point and it's almost like I almost pity the reporters and the news organizations because it's like pick one.
Yeah.
You know, here, pick a card, any card. These will all, you know what I'm saying? Stormy Daniels, Karen McDougal, congratulating Putin, Russia, Cambridge Analytica,
and telling Lester Holt on television that you fired Comey because of the Russia thing.
I mean, Russia.
Hello.
You know, I think you and I are the only two that really glommed onto Russia. And every time you write it, I snicker out loud. Yeah. It's crazy. There is so much. There's so much that we haven't. There's so much that a year ago where we have to remind ourselves of the crazy shit that went down that was fucked up a year ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can't even remember anything from last month.
Exactly. Exactly. And then let's not forget that Mike Pence was Paul Manafort's pick. Okay. For vice president. And Paul Manafort is the filth that, you know, one of like, I want to say the kingpins of this whole, to make a second reference to kingpin in this conversation, but he has had those ties to Russia and it was all about money and it was all about, you know, his desperation because we know he owes however many hundreds of millions, what is it? $150 million.
Yeah,
I don't know what the number is. So there's that. He picks Pence. So Pence is just as dirty. And hasn't Pence been awfully quiet lately? Other than the rabbit book?
Yes.
Like, honestly.
And where the I have the rabbit book up here. Did you watch John Oliver?
Yes, I mean,
oh,
please.
My God. So everybody has to go to Amazon. I'm gonna buy this and get Marlon Bundo's Day in the. Oh wait, is that the one? No, wait.
It's Marlon Bundo.
No. I want the John Oliver one because John Oliver did a book.
Yeah.
So I have to look it up. Marlon Bundo's. I agree with John Oliver because he said spoiler, that the only thing he likes about Pence is the fact that he has a bunny named Marlon Bundo. Is it Bundo or Brand? I guess it's Bundo. Yeah, Bundo.
Bundo, the bunny.
So there, you have to go to Amazon and you go to Last Week Tonight with John Oliver presents a day in the life of Marlon Bundo. And then all the proceeds go to, and I don't have the information here, but it's all like, you know, here it was donated to the Trevor Project and AIDS United. So 100% of the proceeds. So everybody should order this book because not only will it go to the Trevor Project and AIDS United, it's going to piss off Mike Pence. And I think it went up to number one. This book went up to number one and Mike Pence's book went up to five.
He unseated James Comey's book.
Wow. It's already got
40. Comey out of number one.
It's got 4,300 reviews already. That's so
I'm buying
awesome.
It right now.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it too. Buy with one click.
There you go.
Alrighty,
add
so,
that shit to the cart. Okay.
So for you people listening, and another thing is coming up. That's the $5 show, if you want to listen. We're going to be talking about stuff that's all private and personal and you don't get to know unless you pay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Alrighty, so... anyway, so... We're going to switch on over to end another thing in a minute. And until then, it was fun talking to you.
And yes, always. Oh, my God. Is he playing the chain?
Yes.
God damn it, Bob. I love you.
I chose the song.
God, I love you more.
It's my show. It's my show. All right, everybody. We're going to see you next week. And our guest is Andrew Jans. He's running against Devin Nunes, and we're going to have him on the show. So be sure to listen.